None of us went to church on Easter Sunday. Linda slept in. Kyle took a motorcycle ride. My dad and stepmom went to the store to round up something for a last-minute holiday meal. Elaine and I went for a run. Easter being something of an afterthought, we also opted out of colored egg hunts and hiding baskets of candy. I had but one agenda for the day on which we celebrate life rising out of death. I wanted a private talk with Linda to hear for myself the story of her disintegration. Once she was up and fed some toast and jam, I took the initiative. I asked her if she wanted to go for a drive. So while the others cooked a ham and scalloped potatoes, Linda and I drove up the Redwood Coast Highway in search of a site hallowed enough to hold the intimacies of the conversation to come. It was a lovely spring day, still chilly, with billowy white clouds peppering the sky's pastel blue. Whether it was the recuperative power of some food in her system or simply the relief of being liberated from the state institution, a spark of Linda's spirit was resuscitated. She was still subdued and heavy with fatigue, but the desperate vigilance had softened into a sober introspection. She sat in the passenger seat, wrapped in the comforter that she had brought with her, and stared out of her window. We meandered north, past Agate Beach, until the road veered into the interior of the massive state forest. Preferring a view of the ocean to the shadows of the woods, we turned back, then pulled off the highway at Patrick's Point. We followed a dilapidated lane, its disrepair promising solitude, past the state park and parallel to the ocean. Hidden in the hillside, still a couple of miles before the hamlet of Trinidad, we came upon a grassy bluff with a gravel turnout to pull into. I parked the truck, and we took in the view. The vista was panoramic. We could see the rocky coast to the south extend for miles before us, while to the west the Pacific reached out as far as the horizon. I shifted in my seat to better face Linda. She was framed by the passenger window, the sea behind her a tranquil backdrop. That's where we talked, like any other time that she had opened up her heart to her brother. Only this time, she did not downplay the storm that had marred the horizon, nor did she bounce right back after confiding about it. I asked her what had been happening in the weeks since I had last talked to her. She pulled her comforter tight, as if bracing for the words that she would be voicing. Then she shared, the darkness of the storm mocking the springtime vista that held it. She told me about her nightmares. Sometimes bullish beasts, sometimes ravenous dogs, breaking into her bedroom to violate and devour her. She described how hard it was to rid herself of those images, that even when she was awake, she could not keep from seeing their faces. She elaborated on her growing aversion to smells, how it started with a mild nausea at a whiff of Kyle's cologne, degenerated into a repulsion at the smell of his deodorant, then spiraled into fits of panic at the slightest odor at all. She related how her aversion to smells became an aversion to touch as well. The slightest contact with her skin, Kyle's hand on her shoulder, a hug from her daughter, a brush against her body in a crowded grocery aisle, induced shivers of revulsion so severe she wanted to rip her flesh and scream. She conveyed the terror that would drive her to hide herself in her closet, certain that the monsters that she had imagined were real and were stalking the house to get her. She detailed all the ways that Kyle was trying to kill her, sneaking into the house scents that would poison her, sprinkling insecticide into her food, plying her with pills that were inducing insanity. How she knew it sounded crazy, but it was Kyle who had orchestrated her commitment. It was his friends masquerading as doctors at the ER, his co-workers driving the ambulance that ferried her from there to the asylum. She sounded surprisingly coherent as she recounted the horrors of her experience, narrating it all with the detachment of a reporter writing copy for a newspaper.